here in John chapter 15. I'm going to turn your attention to verse number 9. And we'll read here in the scripture, John chapter 15, verse number 9. As a Father, the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, as a Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Verse number 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Our text is in verse number 12. We'll read this again. This is my commandment. The Lord speaking here to his disciples, namely to the apostles that are there with him. And he says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for this privilege and opportunity that you've given us here to assemble ourselves together to worship you. And we pray, Father, that you'd help us, that we all might worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we thank you for your church here and the way that you've saved us and put us in your church and added us thereto. And we thank you, Father, for our visitors today and for those that have come to worship with us. And we praise your name for them and pray, Lord, you might bless them by being here. Bless us all with your word, Father, and speak to us through it. And help us, Father, to hear you and believe you in those things that you say. And Lord, for those that are here this morning, no doubt that are not saved, we pray, Father, that you might touch them today, that you might show them their great need. Lord, you might show them their sinful, wretched condition before you. And Lord, that you would reveal unto them Jesus Christ and salvation through him. Lord, help them to hear your call. Lord, help them to hear your word. Lord, they might come to you in repentance and faith as you command. Help now, we pray, and bless us, Father. We need you. And we pray that you'd work. Take me out of the way and just use me and speak through me. I ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name, and amen. Here in John 15, verse number 12, the Lord Jesus Christ says, this is my commandment. The Lord Jesus Christ giving this commandment. He says to his church, I'm giving you, he's saying to his apostles, to his disciples, to his children, to his friends, as he goes on to say there in verses 14 and 15, this is my commandment to you, that ye love one another. How? The way you want to? The way that we might choose in and of ourselves, or what might make sense to us? No, he says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. That's the love and care that we're to have one for another, especially in the Lord's church. Now, brothers and sisters in Christ, those that have been, the Lord has saved and added us to the family of God, we well should love our brother, shouldn't we? But in the church, for sure, the Lord has told and he has given this commandment. He's very clear to those that he's put in his church. This is my commandment, that ye love one another the way I have loved you. That's the way that we need to love. That's what we, as the Lord's children, need to pursue. And as we read there in verse number 17, these things I command you, that ye love one another. In John chapter 13, you can turn over a page or so and read here in verse number 34. The Lord speaks of this also, and prior to what we just read in John 15. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. He reiterates it, doesn't he? He's saying it again in John 15, and from what he has said in chapter 13. But there's something here that we want to see. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this love that you have one for another, not for the world, although we should love the world, not our love for the Lord, necessarily in drought, although that our love one for another is a result of our love for the Lord, and I think we'll see that here in the message. But he says, by this, my new commandment I give unto you, verse 34, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye love one another. Notice how he says that twice there. Let's read that again. Look at that. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. The way I've loved you, you need to love. You need to love. Verse 35, by this love that you have one for another, by this shall all know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Love. Love one for another. What is love? What is love? It's one of those questions that's been asked through the ages that man has asked. What is love? Well, there's a similar question that a man asked over here in John chapter 18. Take a look over here. As the Lord Jesus Christ was standing before Pilate, and I think that we're going to see a connection here in the message, I trust, about this. But Pilate asked a question here in John 18, and we see in verse number 37, what the scripture says in John 18, verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, unto Jesus, as Jesus was there brought before Pilate, falsely accused of the Jews, and falsely condemned to death by the Jews. And he's brought to Pilate there on that morning. And Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. For this cause came I into the world, to stand before you, to be right here this day before you, Pilate. That's the reason I was born. That's the reason that I was brought forth of the Father. He says, my kingdom is not of this, or I'm sorry, I was reading in verse 36. Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? The debauchery of the Roman system, and really it's the debauchery of every way that is not of the Lord and not of Christ. It leaves us not knowing what things are, doesn't it? The way of man, the way of humanity, the way of depravity, it leaves us answerless to the most important questions there are of eternity and living in life. Pilate says in his way, in his life, in his way of worship, his religion, his quandary that he's found in, the way of the Roman government. He's a governor there under Caesar for that region of Judea that he is in. And he saith unto him, what is truth? He doesn't know. He would like to know what truth is, but he doesn't know. And the world says, what is love? You know, it's a sad affair to look on and see that many do not know what the truth is or what love is, isn't it? It's a sad, sad commentary on humanity and our depravity, isn't it? So what is love? Well, let's see. Let's first consider about how love is manifested. Okay? And some of these things I trust are familiar with you because of your reading and understanding, other preaching, other teaching that is in the Word of God that you already know and will not cover those things. But where is love manifested? Let's first consider between what beings love is manifested. Okay? This is something that has just really been tore up and messed up in our day. Love is manifested first in God Almighty's love towards us, isn't it? It's manifested that way. God loving us. John 3:16 speaks of it. For God so loved the world. He has a love for His creation. He has His love, a love for mankind. He does seek and did seek to redeem His own. His love towards us is manifested greater than any love could be manifested. And that is so. We know that from the Word of God. Love is also manifested in our love towards God. What is it that God requires of us? To love the Lord with everything. Isn't that in summary what the Word of God says? Yes, love is toward the Lord. Love is also manifested in our love one toward another as brothers and sisters in Christ. You've been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And our love should be manifested one towards another. We see that from our text. And you know what? Our love is manifested also in our love toward our neighbor, isn't it? Toward our neighbor. Towards other sinners like us, but that are dead in trespasses and sins, far away from God. Our love is manifested in our love for them. That's the way love is manifested. You know, love is not manifested in these ways, not the love of things. I just love doing that. No, don't love that. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, write this down and you can read it on your own time. I'll read it for you. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, period. That's what the Word of God says. Don't love the world and don't love the things that are in the world. A love of things is not love. It's not love. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Loving things is not the way that love is manifested. I want to get away from this thing of saying true love. I want to get away from this thing of saying, you know, what's really, 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 really is love. You know, notice how we do that. Because of the redefining of things in our world and in this life that we live, we go ahead and add some things, some more descriptive things in front of the term. We do that with our churches, don't we? With the names of our churches, Independent, Fundamental, Sovereign Grace, Landmark, right? Because there's been controversies over time, and we want to be descriptive of what we are, some churches do. But the thing is the only kind of church that there is that's the Lord's church is His New Testament Baptist Church. And that's the reason I just like to say the Lord's church. And sometimes we have to describe those things, but love, not true love, because there is no false love. There's either love or not. Amen? And love is not manifested in the love of things. Hang on to this one. And this is the way the world has changed things. Love is not the lust or the desire of mankind. Whether sensual or not, that's not love. But that's what's been made into. 1 John chapter 2 goes on to say in verse 16, "For all that is in the world, all, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. It's not of the Father, but is of the world." Listen, verse 17 goes on to say, "And the love of the world passeth away, and the lust thereof." The lust of men, the desire, sensual or not, just desires of men, the way mankind wants to go, that's not love. That's not love. Amen. It's desire is what it is. And it's misplaced. And you know what? Considering that how love is true is manifested, God's definition of love, what love is, it's not the love of animals either. It's not the love of animals. Well, Brother Jim, I've got a little dog and I just love that little dog. No, you greatly admire that little dog, but you don't love that dog. You don't love that cat. You don't love those cows. We enjoy them. We've been given a blessing to be with them. Would you give your life for that animal? If you're in your right mind, you'd say no. Amen. Listen to what the Lord says and take a look at this. In Romans chapter 1, what is it that man does in trying to seek after God his own way? And the Lord makes it very plain here. In Romans chapter 1, this has happened in our day. Craziness. You can go to jail and pay more fines for killing a bald eagle than you can aborting a baby. You can commit murder out on the street. You can be prosecuted by the law more and punished by the law more for killing some kinds of animals. And I'm not advocating brutality of animals or being cruel to animals. We should not do that. The Lord does not want us to be that way. We should always respect life, but there is an order of things. But look here in Romans 1 how the Lord tells us that happens as men seek the Lord their own way. Verse 25, it's simple. "Who change the truth of God and do a lie." And here's what's happening. "And worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Getting out of place. Yes, the Lord has created animals and they do have a life and a spirit within them that we do enjoy. But love is not manifested between a person and an animal. We may have great affection, but not love. Not love. Take a look over here in Genesis chapter 1. Here's the order that the Lord gave. In Genesis chapter 1, this is what the Lord gave and the way it should be. between us and the animal kingdom, or the animal world, if you will. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, look at the connections here, let us make man in our image. Not an image of another animal, or one of the creatures that he's created on the other days, or on this day even. But he says, let's make man in our image. Let us make man in our image. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Don't you find that interesting that God emphasizes that twice? Because he wants us to get it. He knows what men will do. Male and female created he them. We're to have dominion. That's not talking about abuse. That's talking about having things in the right place. Love is not manifested between beings, human beings, mankind, and animals. We have a care and affection for them. But when you get down to the Lord's definition of love, it's not manifested that way. It's not manifested in lust, but it is manifested in God's love toward us, our love towards God, our love one towards another as brothers and sisters in Christ, and our love towards the sinner that needs saving. And so when we take a look and we consider in the Scripture, what is love? What is love? Well, I trust there's one chapter that's coming to your mind. And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's take a look there. What is love? The Lord said, I want you, my children, I want you, my people, I want you to love one another the way I have loved you. You know, that's a tall order. How did the Lord love us? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he tells it. And I want us to consider about the Lord's love for us, our love towards him, our love one towards another as brothers and sisters in Christ, one another, and our love towards our neighbor, towards the wayward, unrepentant sinner. Does it meet up to the way the Lord has loved you and me? That's what we need to have. And listen, I'm telling you right now, I'm not the example of it. I am to be an example of it, but I need work in this. I point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the perfect example of what love is. What love is. Take a look here. Take a look here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I know all kinds of languages, though I might be fluent in all the languages of the earth. How many languages are there? I don't know. I don't have a clue. I can barely speak English. But if I knew all the languages where I could converse with any person on the earth, and though I could speak even in the tongue of the angels, the language of the angels, which I don't know, and don't get carried away. We don't do that here.
Amen.
But I don't have charity. Now, Brother Jim, you said you're going to preach about love this morning. Take a look at the definition of love. Well, the Lord emphasizes this point of love by using this word charity, because as it is with the Lord, love, defined by God Almighty, will always lead to action. Love will always lead to action on the one that is exhibiting, manifesting love towards another, towards God, or towards another human being. That's where the focus, that's where love's going to be manifested. It's always going to be not by just word, but by action. By action. And that's the reason he calls it charity. Where the word charity has been changed in our day, and in a sense that when we think about charity, it's talking about helping those that are in need. Almsgiving, if you will. That's what we think about the word charity, is giving something to somebody freely. We helped out a family in the church here last Sunday by getting them some groceries. And to some extent, they're shysters. And the Lord knows that. But we got the opportunity to preach the gospel to them and preach to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. There was an element of shame there. And not to want to run anybody down because of their situation or their condition. That's not the point. But if the fellow was knowingly taking us by the manipulating of those that were there with him in that shame is good. Shame is good. Maybe it'll bring repentance. Amen. But we got to preach the gospel to them. And so we carried those groceries there, and I believe we well should, because we were directly asked for those and for that. And so I think we certainly should. But we refer to that as a charitable thing, don't we? But see, charity is talking about love that'll lead you to do something. Lead you to do something. Not just talk. It says here that if I have not charity, though I can speak with every tongue that there is, I'm become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You know why a cowbell makes so much noise? A cowbell. Is it not likened to a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal? A lot of times they're made out of copper. Maybe they're made out of steel. You know why a cowbell makes so much noise? It's empty. Right? It's empty. All it's got is the clapper in there. If all my love that I claim is just talk, it's empty, isn't it? It's empty. It's empty indeed. And though I have the gift, verse number 2, of prophecy, though I can understand the Word of God and everything that there is, the Word and the oracle of God, it's no mystery to me, but I have the ability to understand what God has said in His Word, and I have the ability to interpret it and to be able to take it and apply it to life, to have all of that, though I understand all prophecy, have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries, those deep things, those hidden things that are there in the Word of God. Though I'm able to have all the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, that Word speaks about science, the way things really work, the physics, the underlying things that are at work down there at the atomic level and everything in between. I know, am able to know all those things, but don't have love. What's it say? And though I have all faith, believing that God can do a thing so that I could remove mountains. The Lord says, if you have a faith as a grain of mustard seed, you'll say unto this mountain, be thou cast into the sea, and it'll be done. Though I've got the gift of prophecy, understanding the Word of God, understanding the mysteries and the Word of God in the world, all knowledge about all kinds of different subjects and all that there is, and though I have all faith, knowing that God can move, knowing that God can work, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am like I don't even exist. Nothing. I'm empty. Boy, that's sobering, isn't it? That is sobering indeed. It goes on to say, the Scripture goes on to say here in verse 2, though I give everything I've got, all my goods to feed the poor, they really need to eat. They're hungry. And I've got blessing and I've got bounty and I give every bit of it. So now, after having given it, I'm just as poor as they were. All my goods to feed the poor. And though I give my body to be burned, burned for the stand of the Word of God, burned for the sake of Christ, burned to just put an end to my life, give it all away, even to the extent of giving of myself, and have not charity, I am advantaged zero. Nothing. Nothing, folks. Not a thing. You know, this is taken and really shutting down the religion of the world, isn't it? Yeah. These things are what the religion of mankind and the religion of the world claim. Love. Charity. Everything I've got, everything I know, if I have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Verse 4, here's what the love of God, charity. Charity suffereth long. It's patient. Charity will wait a long time for a thing. Charity will wait a long time for the work, for the Lord to work. Wait a long, long time. Charity, what's it say? Charity is kind. It's not rough. It's not rough and mean, if you will. But it's kind. And the thing is, say, well, you know, sometimes folks get wayward and do things wrong and go against the Word of God. We're going to get to that. The Lord's going to deal with that. The Word of God's going to deal with that. But charity is kind. It's not rough. It's not mean. It goes on to say here, charity suffers long, is kind. Charity envieth not. You know, charity, but it, love of the Lord, the way the Lord defines love, it won't boil with hatred or covetousness. Charity won't hold a grudge.
Amen.
Think about the Lord and His love for us. Could the Lord have held a grudge? He sure could against me. I don't know about you. Do I deserve for the Lord to be kind to me? No. No. Do I, the Lord, deserve for the Lord to give it all for me? No. Do I deserve the Lord to give everything that He has to feed this old poor sinner with everlasting life, bread from heaven and a fountain of life freely? No, I don't. But that's what He's done. That's what He's done. Consider that as we look in these things. Our love, the Lord's love for us, our love towards Him. Do we love the Lord that way? Not just talk. Not just in emails. Not just on Facebook. Not just on things that we say or we do or we purport. But do we love our brother and sister the way the Lord loved us? Do we love the sinner that's in need of the Savior the way the Lord loved us? Verse 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. It doesn't boil over with hatred and covetousness and doesn't hold a grudge. It does not vaunt itself. Charity vaunteth not itself. We don't use that word often, but it's not a braggart. Charity doesn't go around saying, look at me, look at what I've done. Remember what I did? Remember what was done a long time ago? Remember what was done even before that? Remember about that and this and that and the other? Love doesn't do that. Charity doesn't do that. It doesn't brag.
Amen.
It just does. And does. And is faithful. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not a braggart. It doesn't remind others of what they have done. Charity, it goes on to say, is not puffed up. It's not swollen up. Charity is never proud, is it? But charity is rather thankful, isn't it?
Amen.
Yes. The Lord Jesus Christ thanked the Father. He thanked the Father for those that the Father had given Him to save and redeem. I am no prize, folks. Are you? No, no. Oh, but He loved me. Oh, He loves me so. I praise God for it. Goes on to say here, and in that reference to charity being kind, but realize how it is. Charity doesn't vaunt itself. It doesn't puff itself up. Verse 5, it doth not behave itself unseemly. Charity or love will never, never be or work in lasciviousness or lustfulness the way men have described. Young person, that one that you're becoming very close friends with, that they would want you to engage them and be intimate with them and be close with them and that, love won't do that.
Amen.
Love won't do that before marriage.
Right.
Love won't do it before marriage.
Amen.
And we need to teach our kids that. The thing of saving and protecting our virginity. That's really the thing that's important. Listen, you need to protect your innocence and your reputation.
Amen.
You need to not know and engage in those things that are reserved for marriage before marriage. Because
right.
It costs you.
Every time.
You give it up. And once you give it up, it's gone.
Amen.
Even before virginity. Need to be and love, true love. Someone that tells you they love you, they won't cause you and ask you to behave unseemly. They won't behave unseemly towards you. But that's what the world says love is, isn't it? Verse 5, charity doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. It's not only it's not looking for just what's good for her or for self. Isn't that the way with the Lord Jesus Christ? He didn't seek that which was good for Him. He sought that which was good for me.
Amen.
And you, that He saved. Charity, love, because of the Lord. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. Love is not sitting there ready and quick to be irritated, to be provoked, to be aroused to anger or scorn quickly. Because remember, charity suffereth long. Charity gives a calm, cool answer from the word of the Lord. That's what we're going to see in the next verse. Verse 5, doth not behave herself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Love does not even begin to think about sin, iniquity, and wickedness. I'm not talking about doing. She never goes to the doing side of it. She doesn't think about evil and wickedness. Oh, consider the Lord's love for His people. Is our love for Him that way? Is our love for our brothers and sisters in Christ that way? Is our love for those that are dead and lost in trespasses and sins that way? What did the Lord say? As I have loved you, I want you to love one another. He goes on here to say, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Sometimes the truth might not seem to be too kind. Amen? Sometimes what is right and true because of our disobedience and our rebellion comes across to our flesh and we don't like it. But what better thing is there than to know the truth so we can turn from our sin and our wickedness and turn to that which is right and godly. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. That's what love does. That's why the wounds of a friend are faithful, but the kisses of the enemy are deceit. That's what the Word of God says. The wounds of a friend are faithful, but the kisses of an enemy are deceptive. Are deceptive. And sometimes we need the truth. Love, charity always rejoices in the truth and never rejoices in iniquity. In verse number 7, it says that charity beareth all things. Charity is willing to be covered and carry more and more and more and more. What does it say in Isaiah about the Lord Jesus Christ? Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Amen. And here as we are in this life and the Lord saved us and we pray to Him as He's commanded and we bring what? Most of the time we're bringing care and concern, heartache and hardship to Him, aren't we? We're asking Him and pleading Him for Him to work in things that you and I just can't do or work in. How about the salvation of the soul of your child? We need to be a good witness to them. But we can't accomplish it, can we? The salvation of the soul of your grandchild. It's soon to be manifested, or I'm going to be able to hold my grandchild soon. I want that child to be saved. I'm praying that the Lord will save that child already.
Amen.
But I can't save him. But the Lord can. We bring, He bears all things for us indeed. Charity believeth all things. That the Lord can do it. That the Lord can make a change. That the Lord can take that most wayward, disobedient sinner that we know. And that the Lord can change that heart and touch them. Amen? We've all got somebody that we say is a lost cause. Admit it. Admit it. We all have somebody that we've considered to be a lost cause. That there's no way that they will turn. The Lord's able.
Amen.
And a love for them will consider that the Lord's able to do it. That the Lord will do it. Believeth all things. Beareth all things. Love, charity, hopeth all things. Because my hope is not in whether the gambling or the lottery will come out right. But my hope is in the Lord. It's a no-so kind of hope that the Lord will work all things according to His good pleasure. Amen? And my hope and my rest is in Him. Hopeth all things. I know that the Lord is not slack concerning His promise and that His power and the might of His arm and His hand is not short. But from the human standpoint, from the first time that the Lord brought the gospel to me, and for me, it was when I was little. What if I'd have been in the hearing of the gospel and after that for a year, the Lord said no more? But he didn't, did he? He kept bringing it to me. Even though I came to a point in my life that I thought I was religious and upright, looking and hanging on to my own self-righteousness, the Lord didn't give up on me. But he kept working on me. And in time, he visited me and called me unto salvation. Charity beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. Not most, but in those cases it said all, didn't it? All. Surely he hath borne our sorrows and carried our griefs. It's talking about all of them. To whom can we go but to the Lord? There's no one else, is there? There's no one else. There's no one that understands like the Lord. There's no one that has worked like the Lord. He will not recede. He will not flee. He will take it patiently. He has done so for us. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity, she'll never fail. Never. Not even one time. Love won't fail. God's definition of love won't fail. But listen, whether there be prophecies as the Lord used to bring us the Word of God, they're going to come to a time that they're going to fail, and they did. They shall fail. Prophecy shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. The Lord bringing us His Word by the prophecies that He gave His men of old time, it's become inactive and inoperative. We don't get the Word of God that way anymore. Why? Because we've got her right here. This is it. This is it. We've got it. And we've got it all. All that we need, we have. We don't need the book of Judas, the Gospel of Judas, or the Gospel of this other one, or the Gospel of the other. We don't need that. We've got the Word of God right there. It tells us everything that we need. But prophecies, they did fail. Tongues, the languages that the Lord used, and those languages that we have, one day when the Lord comes, there's going to be that heavenly language that we're going to speak. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's going to be English, Hebrew, or something else. But the tongues of men, they're going to fail. There's going to come a time that we're going to speak the language of the Lord. Tongues, the manifestation of the gift of tongues, also in the church. It's past because we have the Word of God. And where there be knowledge, it is also going to become inactive and operative and done away with. Same as the prophecy, same word. Why? Because we have the Word of God. For we know in part, the apostle said, and we prophesy in part. Even though we've got the Word of God, we don't understand everything about God. But one day we're going to. One day we're going to. Why? Because of the Lord's love. Because of His love. The manifestation of His love toward usward who were far, far from Him. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, even as the apostle was being used of the Lord to even write this epistle to the church at Corinth. He said there's going to come a time that the Lord's men are going to quit writing, and the Word of God is going to be here full and perfect to His people and to the world. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect, I believe speaking of the Word of God, has come, then that which is in part shall be done away. It'll be set apart. It'll be no more referred to because we'll have the written Word of God. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Same as the prophecies, same as the knowledges, that word done away. And here's an example. Verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. Right? Because it's unbecoming for an adult to use baby talk. Right? Because children grow up to become adults. Children grow up to be mature. When I was a child, I spake as a child, and I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. The Lord desires maturity. Love, charity, calls to maturity, not to infancy, but to maturity in the Lord. That's what the Lord did, is He was given a mission of the Father, and not that He was lacking in any way, but in His humanity, He exhibited submission and obedience to fulfill the will of the Father for His people. And He said, I've finished it. I've completed it. I've completed the work that you've given me to do. That's what He wants us to do. And that's what love will bring us to. For now, when I was a child, verse 11, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Love calls to maturity, folks, not a continual state of infancy. Verse 12, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. This reference here, now we see through a glass darkly, it's talking about, as I understand it, not a very good mirror. Not looking through a thing, but that same word through can be, we can put in the word in or by. And looking in those mirrors that they had in the day of the apostle when he was writing this, maybe polished steel, he could look into that mirror and see an image of himself, but it wasn't as good an image as when he turned and he looked straight on at somebody else. And that's the way it is with us. We look and we see some things of the Lord, and we see the blessing of the Lord that He's given us now for this time, but then face to face. Face to face with our Lord, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Oh, it won't be through that dark veil, that dark window, that dark mirror that we see now, but we'll know the Lord and be thoroughly acquainted with Him and one another as He is with us. I'll know as I'm known. Why? Because of charity. Because of love. Because of the Lord's love for us. And now liveth or abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three. But the greatest is charity. Why? Because love covers it all. Does grace describe the mercy of God? No. Because grace is grace. And mercy is mercy. Does mercy describe the grace of God? No. Do either one of those describe the hope that we have in Christ? No, not completely. What's it say here? Faith, hope, and charity. Does faith completely describe everything there is about our salvation and what God has done in us and through us and with us? Not completely. The hope that we have in Christ, does it describe everything about the way the Lord has worked in us and how He's called us and how He's loved us? Not completely. But love does, doesn't it? Love tells about grace. Love tells about mercy. Love tells about hope. Love tells about faith. Love. That's the reason that the greatest, and now abide faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. What is love? Well, years ago I sought this and sought the Lord's face about what love is. When I was considering, and Clarissa and I were sweet on each other, I wanted to really know what it was to love. And I prayed and I sought the Lord's face earnestly about it. And you know what the Lord brought out to me in the Scripture and is manifested in the Scripture? Love, folks, love is a mindset. It's a mindset, isn't it? It's not based on the merit of one that's the... It's not. It's a mindset with no merit based on the part of the one being loved. When we're talking about love, when we're talking about the way God loves and what God says love is, it's a mindset. It's a mindset. God says, I'm going to love Jim Duke. And He did it from eternity past. And He brought it to pass in time. I love Jim Duke. It's a mindset, folks. Otherwise, If it's conditional, then it's going to fail, isn't it? If it's conditional, if a love that one has for another is conditional on the performance of the one being loved, it will fail. The love that God defines and the love that God has is a mindset. It's a mindset, indeed. This is my commandment, the Lord says in John 15:12, that ye love one another as I have loved you. I've set my love on you, unconditional, of your service, of your failure, of the sin you might get into. I've loved you with an everlasting love. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. Hear the Lord speaking to Israel. But when the Lord's talking about love, He's talking about the way He loves. It's going to be the same in every case. And I believe we could take this and apply it and understand the way the Lord loves. Listen to how the Lord loves. In Jeremiah 31, verse 3, the Lord hath appeared of thee of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Amen. Amen. An everlasting love. That's the only way the Lord loves. And that's the way you and I should love. It's the way you and I should love the Lord. It's the way we should love our brother and sister in Christ. And it's the way we should love the sinner that is in need of salvation from the Lord. That is the way that we should love. That is the way the Lord has loved. This is the way the Lord loves. How is our love? How is our love to the Lord? How is the Lord's love to us, as we've seen? How is our love to the Lord? How is our love one to another as brothers and sisters in Christ? How is our love to the sinner? If you're here this morning and you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, if you're here and you've not known the love of God through salvation by His Son, then listen. Listen to those that the Lord has saved and what they have and what they've experienced and what they say about His love. Romans chapter 5. Look here. Listen to those that have been saved by the Lord and listen to what they say about His love. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, don't block me out. Don't look out the window. Don't think of something else or what you're going to do this afternoon, but think and consider about the Lord's love for those that He has saved. Do you desire this love? Do you want this love? Do you see that you are a sinner and you need salvation? In Romans chapter 5, verse number 8, it says, but God commendeth His love toward us. That's one talking on the saved side of life. He's commended His love toward us in that while I was a sinner, Christ gave Himself. He died for me. Back in verse number 6, for when I was yet without strength, in due time Christ died for my ungodly wicked soul. That's what the saved say. Amen. Having experienced the love of God. Oh, sinner, don't you want to experience that love? Or don't you want to know that forgiveness of sin? Don't you want to know that pardon, that pardon from sin and from guilt, from shame, the condemnation of the Lord? Hell waiting on your soul if you die in your sins the way you are. The one that has been saved has experienced this love, and they know that the Lord has loved ultimately by the giving of Himself. Look what it goes on to say in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Are you and I at a point to where we would lay down our life for our brother and sister in Christ? Do we really love the way the Lord has loved us? May the Lord help us to see it. The Lord laid down His life for sinners. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. Herein is love, not that we love God. Oh, we can talk all day about how much we love God. I can talk all day about how much I love God. But you know what the real count, the real story is? That He would love me. That He would love me. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins, the substitute, the payment. My filth and sin laid on Him, and His goodness and His righteousness laid on me. That's love, folks. That is love indeed. Revelation chapter 22. Find it interesting how the Lord ends up the Scripture here at the very end of the Scripture, how He says these things. And for you that are here this morning and not saved, we point you to Christ. We consider you and beseech you and beg of you to consider His love for sinners. And we desire you to know this love. The love of the Savior for sinners. In Revelation chapter 22, verse number 17, and listen, and the Spirit and the Bride, which is Olmsted Baptist Church, say, come. And let him that heareth, have you really heard this morning? Have you heard with the heart of faith? Have you heard with faith? And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, are you thirsty? Do you realize you've got that void that nothing else will fill but the Lord Jesus Christ? You're looking for it some way, but you just can't find it. I tell you, it's filled in Jesus Christ. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Love. The Lord's love. How is our love as the children of God to the Lord? How is our love towards one another as brothers and sisters in Christ? How is our love towards the sinner that needs salvation? Consider in all that, that our love towards those needs to be like the Lord's love towards us. May the Lord help us. If you're here and you're not saved, repent of your sins and believe the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for you, for your sins, for your soul.